name is Justina, and I'm the pastor at the Salvation Army here in Portage la Prairie. This last Wednesday was Pink Shirt Day. In case you don't know what that means, it's a day set aside to stand up to bullying. Here's what I found online about it. It started with a single pink shirt and two students who refused to stay silent. In 2007, when a new student at Nova Scotia's Coldbrook School was bullied for wearing pink, two 12th graders took action. They bought 50 pink shirts and rallied their classmates to wear them. The next day, the school transformed into a sea of pink, a powerful statement of solidarity that would spark a worldwide movement. But here's the reality. Bullying doesn't just happen in distant hallways. It's in our classrooms, on our social media feeds, and sometimes even within our friend groups. Too often we scroll past it, walk by it, or pretend we don't see it. Yet tomorrow's target could be your best friend, your sibling, or even you. The kindness you give today may be the strength someone needs tomorrow. Isn't just a good, feel-good quote, it's a call to action. While it's easy to complain about negativity in the world, real change starts with us. Kindness isn't weakness. It's choosing to be strong in a world where being cruel is often easier. A simple smile, a supportive message, or checking in on someone who seems down can create ripples of positive change. Talk about upside down. Two teenage boys started this movement. And look at the difference they made standing up for what's right. Sound familiar? Sound a little bit like the good life to you? Being salt and light? In this next part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about coming to fulfill the law, coming to complete it. The next six chunks all start the same way. You have heard about the law that says, one of the commandments, but I say, and he adds something more. For example, in this passage, Jesus says, you have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. Basically, yes, I agree, don't murder. But in fact, it's even deeper than that. Don't be angry with someone. Matthew 5, verses 21 to 26 say this. You have heard that it was said to our people long ago, you must not murder anyone. Any person who commits murder will be judged. But I tell you, don't be angry with anyone. If you are angry with others, you will be judged. And if you insult someone, you will be judged by the high court. And if you call someone a fool, you will be in danger of the fire of hell. So what if you were offering your gift at the altar? And remember that someone has something against you. Leave your gift there and go and make peace with that person, then come and offer your gift. If anyone wants to take you to court, make friends with them quickly. Try to do that before you get to the court. If you don't, they might hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to a guard who will throw you into jail. I assure you that you will not leave there until you have paid everything you owe. Now, maybe when you look at the commandments, you're like, okay, murder. I've got this one down. I haven't murdered anyone. But Jesus is like, have you been angry with someone? Then you are subject to judgment. Can you imagine the courts if this were the case on earth? We would all be in trouble. But in God's kingdom, this is punishable. And if you notice, the punishments keep getting worse. We start off in court, then move to the Supreme Court, and finally to hellfire, God's justice. Even though the actions seem to lessen from murder to anger to insults, Jesus seems to really want to show us this upside down way again, showing us that all of it matters, to think through the underneath. If I wouldn't say it directly to a person, I probably shouldn't say it at all. Sometimes it's easier to say mean things when someone isn't there, to devalue them, And sometimes people say stuff even when others are in the room. Insulting someone or calling them a fool is saying you have no value. It's contempt. It's being an evaluator. You are the judge of their value. You are good for nothing. You don't matter. When you murder someone, you are basically saying you don't matter. It doesn't matter if you exist or don't exist. You don't have value. You don't matter. So what do anger, insults, and murder have in common? It puts me as the judge of this person's worth and value. And how horrible is that? Evaluating someone else's worth? Putting yourself in the place of God? I think this is what Jesus is saying here. It's about how we view other people's worth. We as people are created in the image of God. Not committing the act of murder is all good, but it's the underneath part of our hearts that's most important to God. Don't murder, or basically, don't devalue people. Next in our passage, he talks about bringing your sacrifice or making an offering. And that if you have hurt someone and they are upset with you, you are to leave the offering and go make peace before coming to bring your gift to God. Our relationships with others impact our relationship with God. If you have devalued one of God's kids, then you need to make that right before coming into his presence. Same with the next part. We are to settle our differences quickly, or there will be consequences. The longer we leave a relationship broken, the longer the anger is allowed to fester, the harder it will be to fix and deal with it in the end. When Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment? Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40 say this. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. A good summary of all the commandments. If you are loving others, you are valuing them. But what is the opposite of love? And if God has called us to love, then what is it called when we don't? The thing that spoke to me the most in the book Good and Beautiful and Kind by Rich Villadis is the idea that sin is failure to love. Here's a quote from that book. If the greatest commandment given by Jesus is rooted in love, the greatest sin, and perhaps all sin, must in some way be the rejection of this command. Sin is failure to love. Wow, this is good. If loving God and loving others is a good summary of the commandments, then not loving is breaking the commandments. It's sin. It's murder and anger. It's us deciding others' worth. We are called to love. So what? How does this teaching impact us today? I think it's safe to say that most of us haven't murdered someone. Congrats. But it's also safe to say that we have all devalued people. We have all felt we were superior to others. We have all insulted others behind their back, and even maybe right to their face. Jesus says this is serious, and the punishment in his kingdom, well, you might as well have committed the murder. Contempt for others is just as serious to God, and not only that, but it impacts our relationship with God. How we treat others is intertwined with our relationship with God. So today, all of us, myself included, need to reflect on our heart and motives. Do we really love those around us? If not, do we really love God? Who do we need to apologize to and make things right? Someone in our own family? Someone at work? Someone at church? Let's pray. God, we come before you today and confess. We have messed up. We have failed to love. We have been unkind to others. We have devalued them. We have said they don't matter. We are no better than murderers. But God, we know that you are loving and forgiving. So please forgive us. Help us to love people like you do, to see their worth, to recognize their value. Show us who we need to make things right with today, and help us to do it. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's do a quick recap. So far in the Sermon on the Mount series, we have talked about the good life. It's upside down, different than what the world tells us. Talked about how we need to love and care for the marginalized, how we need to desire righteousness, a right relationship with God, to have pure motivations, to be peacemakers, willing to stand up for others, even if it means persecution, to walk the narrow path, to be in community, to be salt and light, to be known what we are for, not what we are against, that Jesus sees us as valuable and uses us to reach others. It's all about our relationship with God and others. It's all about love. Ephesians gives us this prayer. Father, out of your honorable and glorious riches, strengthen your people. Fill their souls with the power of your Spirit, so that through faith, the Anointed One will reside in their hearts. May love be the rich soil where their lives take root. May it be the bedrock where their lives are founded, so that together with all of your people, they will have the power to understand that the love of the Anointed is infinitely long, wide, high, and deep, surpassing everything anyone previously experienced. God, may your fullness flood through their entire beings. Now to God, who can do so many awe-inspiring things, immeasurable things, things greater than we could ask or imagine, through the power at work in us, to him be all glory in the church and in Jesus the Anointed from this generation to the next, forever and ever. Amen. Have a great week.